Samantha, Larry. Floor is yours.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Good morning, everyone, on this lovely Sunday. My name is Sam Cheng. I'm the Global Lead Scientist for Impact and Evidence at the World Wildlife Fund. I'm joined by Larry Kilroy, my colleague at Datakind. And we're really excited to share some of our reflections on developing a free, open evidence synthesis tool for the past decade or so. So what we're going to do today is just talk a little bit about where did this come from? What was the challenge this is trying to respond to? Our experience is developing it, maintaining it. Larry will run us through the technical development of this tool and then talk a bit about what's coming next. Okay. All right. So we all know the world is changing pretty fast. And at one point, a reporter in the Washington Post said, "What if the solution to all of our world's greatest challenges has already been solved? It's just hiding in a PDF that nobody is ever going to read." And they published this article because there was a report from the World Bank over 10 years ago that out of the tens of thousands of reports they publish every year about their projects, about policy analyses, only a third had ever been downloaded, which does not mean they've been read. And so if you take that alongside the fact that research output is rising exponentially, we're getting new papers published every single year, it's on track to double every 9 to 10 years. So on the one hand, right, this is really, really exciting. There's a lot of information and evidence that's out there that we can use as practitioners and policymakers to inform our work. But we need that information in a timely way, in a digestible way, so that's usable, so we can actually feed it into the decision-making processes at the right time. And this is where approaches called evidence synthesis come in. So this is a really broad set of approaches that exist out there. They help us capture, review, and synthesize existing knowledge for specific topics and questions. And so this really came from the medical field. So anytime you go to the doctor, they might make a recommendation. That's informed by medical guidelines. Those medical guidelines are updated based on published literature on a regular basis. And what's really valuable about these approaches is that they're transparent. They aim to minimize any potential bias that might be in those studies that would affect the types of insights you get out of them. And they're also reproducible, meaning that you can repeat that analysis at any time, so you can update the evidence base to keep up with all that stuff that's getting published. So at WEF, we are a science-based organization. We are trying to develop solutions to answer key conservation challenges so that we can halt the degradation of the environment, conserve biodiversity, address all those drivers that impact nature, including climate change and human development, and ensure the well-being of people. But to do that, we need timely access to reliable and relevant information at the timescales that we are trying to make decisions that are tailored for the places where we're working. So in response to this, I feel like I'm aging myself here, like 15 years ago or more, my colleagues and I, across a number of different conservation organizations and development organizations, said, okay, let's take advantage of the decades of research on conservation so we can understand what do we know about the impacts of nature conservation on people. We thought this was going to be a weekend project. So there's that. And we ended up looking at 35,000 published citations, taking all that, winnowing it down to about 3,000 relevant articles, and getting to about 1,000 included in that map. And there were a lot of really exciting insights there, which helped us understand where we had known knowns and known unknowns and gaps we needed to address. But it took us 3 years. So by the time we did that, our knowledge was 3 years out of date. And to do it again, it would take us another 3 years. And so it very quickly became a very daunting task of figuring out how we could actually use this on a regular basis to inform conservation work. So that leads me to the second part of the talk, to talk about the challenges of synthesis, to really make them scalable for decision-making on the whole. The first piece is obviously the efficiency. We are taking a lot of time. We have to sort through a lot of stuff to get to that proverbial evidence needle in the information haystack. And so to do this process manually is quite literally impossible. Which leads me to this point that not only are they inefficient, they're also sometimes insufficient to look for the right information. When we looked across the environmental sector, we found that for similar types of studies, authors are looking at around 14,000 citations to get to really only 2.5% of those that were actually relevant to what they were looking for. So obviously there are a lot of reasons why you might not include things, but ultimately what the verdict is here is people are looking through a lot of potentially irrelevant stuff to get to what they need. Which leads to the second challenge. It's really costly. So all that time it takes to search through all those citations costs money. This is a fairly old study, but I think still quite relevant, not accounting for inflation. But on average, $30,000 to $300,000 US dollars to do one synthesis, not updated. And it can take anywhere from 6 months to a few years. And so that's not really sufficient if we want to generate evidence at the timeline that we actually need to make these decisions at. You can imagine somebody in, you know, a government agency is like, we've got to pass this policy, we've got to inform it, you know, in the next couple of months. And we're like, ask us in 3 years and we'll help you. And so any sort of approach we take to making this process faster, we also need to take into account the third challenge, which is the value of these evidence synthesis approaches is that they're trustworthy, they're rigorous. And so whatever the outputs of any sped up process is, we need to make sure that they still maintain this component, because the value of these approaches is that you know the evidence hasn't been cherry picked to match a particular decision or finding or position. So it's within this context that Colander was founded and launched in 2017. So what is Colander? So with the Science for Nature and People partnership that was led at the time by Conservation International, we decided that evidence synthesis was something important that we wanted to pursue and support across the conservation sector. But we needed to find a way to do it faster, more efficiently, and dynamically. And so we partnered with Datakind to develop an open access, open source, computer-assisted software platform for evidence synthesis called Colander, because you're sifting stuff through to find what you need. And so the way that Colander worked was really to have an easy-to-use front-end platform where users could input what they were looking at to help them sort through it faster and intelligently label that information. So when we developed Colander, we had some key features in mind. The first is that we had to maintain a human in the loop. It couldn't be fully automated. Again, right, the value of these approaches is that they're transparent, and we wanted to maintain that trust. So one of the features that's built into Colander is an active learning approach, where users are maintained through the whole process, maintaining that oversight. And the second is we wanted to make sure that it was open. So at the time that we developed Colander, over 10 years ago, there were lots of different approaches trying to apply machine learning to evidence synthesis in different softwares. But we didn't know what people were doing. They're opaque. No one was really talking to each other. And so every time someone tried to start something new, they were basically reinventing the wheel. And this took a lot of time and resources for our development team to actually dive in and figure out what they were going to do. But then the second part of it was seeing that there's a lot of opportunity to apply these various different AI approaches to synthesis, but we needed to foster some kind of community of practice to learn from each other. And so that was the rationale behind pursuing an open source approach. And then third is Colander's open access. It's free to use. And this is really, I think, predicated on the challenge that if we want to be able to use evidence, we should be able to use evidence everywhere. Everyone should be able to use it. Some of the biggest challenges in the world, particularly for conservation, are in some of the countries with the fewest resources. And so researchers in low and middle income countries don't always have access to really expensive research platforms and tools. Moreover, if we want to update them, they again cost money. And so this is something that was intended to help accelerate the field forward. Okay, so in the past 10 years, We've seen the user community for Colander really grow organically. We have over 6,000 active users now, nearly 4,000 past and ongoing reviews that are being conducted. And it's really been used across a lot of different fields. We built this for conservation, but turns out it was applicable and answered a need across health, you know, education, social development, environmental management, you name it. And so what some of those users have used Colander for are folks like the iSeal Alliance, who's been using it to extract information about certification impacts, right? Like forest certification, product certification. The American College of Physicians has been looking at the machine learning algorithms that are behind Colander to help them improve their synthesis approaches in medicine. And then for us at WF, we are working to harness some of the work in Colander to help us figure out how we maintain living evidence in conservation. But the other thing that's been really exciting is that this community of users has helped grow some of the features, right? We built Colander as sort of an initial tool. People then came and said, this is great. We want to build some add-ons. We want to build tools that can complement and enhance its functionality, you know, leveraging things like R so that they could create trackers and create things that would pipe the outputs to other tools. They've been helping track the research performance, conducting studies, comparing Colander's performance to other tools that are out there, and providing feedback on how we